We are very fortunate to have His Grace Adhikata Dada Prabhuji on the call today to enlighten us with on Srimad Bhagavatam 4.10.5 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you there on the call?
Hare Krishna Lavanya Mataji, Dhanavad Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yes, Mataji, I am here.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much for joining and giving your valuable association. You can take over the call, Prabhuji. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, for the opportunity to serve all of you. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading today from Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4th, Chapter 10, entitled Dhruva Maharaja's Fight with the Yakshas, Text number 5. We will be reading from text number 5 to text number 9. Verse number 5. Gatvo dichim disham raja rudra nuchara sevitam dadarsha himvad droniyam purim guihaka sankulam. Translation and purports by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Dhruv Maharaj went to the northern direction of the Himalayan range. In a valley, he saw a city full of ghostly persons who were followers of Lord Shiva. Purport. In this verse, it is stated that the Yakshas are more or less devotees of Lord Shiva. By this indication, the Yakshas may be taken to be the Himalayan tribes, like the Tibetans. Text number 6. Dadmau shankham brihad bahu kham disha chanunadayan yeno dvigna drishaha kshattar upadevyo trasan brisham. Translation. Maitreya continued, my dear Vidur, as soon as Dhruva Maharaj reached Alakapuri, he immediately blew his conch shell and the sound reverberated throughout the entire sky and in every direction. The wives of the Yakshas became very much frightened. From their eyes it was apparent that they were full of anxiety. Verse number 7. Tato nishkram yabalina upadeva mahabhata asahantas tanninadam abhipetur udayudha. Translation. O hero Vidur, the greatly powerful heroes of the Yakshas, unable to tolerate the resounding vibration of the conch shell of Dhruva Maharaj, came forth from their city with weapons and attacked Dhruva. Verse number 8. Satan apatato vira ugradhanva maharatha ekaikam yugapat sarvan ahan bane stribhistribhi. Translation. Dhruva Maharaj, who was a great charioteer and certainly a great bowman also, immediately began to kill them by simultaneously discharging arrows three at a time. Verse number 9. Te vai lalata lagna estair ishubhi sarva evahi matva nirastam atmanam ashamsan karma tasya tat. Translation. When the heroes of the Yakshas saw that all their heads were being thus threatened by Dhruva Maharaj, they could very easily understand their awkward position, and they concluded that they would certainly be defeated. But as heroes, they lauded the action of Dhruva. Purport. This spirit of fighting in a sporting attitude is very significant in this verse. The Yakshas were severely attacked. Dhruva Maharaj was their enemy. But still, upon witnessing the wonderful heroic acts of Maharaj Dhruva, they were very pleased with him. This straightforward appreciation of an enemy's prowess is a characteristic of real Kshatriya spirit. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swame Iti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Gurave Gaura Chandraya Radhikaya Tadalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I would like to offer my respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of all the devotees who are listening. And I would also like to very humbly beg each and every one of you to please shower your blessings upon me so that I may be able to serve you for the next few minutes in a way that is pleasing to Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna. So we are reading Dhruva Charitra, and we are reading how Dhruva Maharaja's step-brother Uttam was killed by the Yakshas, how his stepmother Suruchi went to search for her son Uttam and was caught in a forest fire, and she also disappeared from this world. And Dhruva Maharaj, following the Kshatriya Dharma, he goes and attacks the aggressors who had killed his brother Uttam. And he attacks the Yakshas, and the verses that we read today describes how Dhruva Maharaj very bravely fought against the aggressors, against the Yakshas, and how Yakshas fought very bravely also, but they were no match for the Kshatriya prowess of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was more powerful. It was because Dhruva Maharaj was fighting based on the Kshatriya codes of conduct, and he was fighting so nicely, so valorously, the Yakshas actually appreciated Dhruva Maharaja's fighting spirit. They fought, they died, but they also appreciated that, oh, here is a very nice Kshatriya, very brave, very powerful. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that this is the Kshatriya spirit. This is the Kshatriya duty. So similarly, we can learn from this that we are also spiritual warriors. Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj said that we are spiritual warriors. Just like Dhruva Maharaj is fighting. You see, Sukhdeva Goswami is describing all these pastimes in Srimad Bhagavatam. And Parikshit Maharaj has limited time. So does Sukhdeva Goswami. Because Sukhdeva Goswami cannot say that, can I have a few more hours? Sorry, I'm not finished yet. I'm still on the 11th canto. I have one more canto to cover with Parikshit Maharaj. Sorry, I ran out of time. But can I have more time? No, that was not possible. Because Parikshit Maharaj was going to die in exactly 7 days. So Sukhdeva Goswami, first of all, is a perfect acharya. He is a self-realized Mahabhagavat. And he had limited time. So whatever Sukhdeva Goswami spoke in Srimad Bhagavatam, it carries valuable lessons for each and every one of us. Very relevant. So we should never think that a certain section of Srimad Bhagavatam is irrelevant or not important. That cannot be. Otherwise Sukhdeva Goswami would not have bothered to mention it to Parikshit Maharaj, who had limited time. So what can we learn from this? We can learn that we all are spiritual warriors. Just like Dhruva Maharaj is fighting with his enemies, the aggressors who attacked his family member, the Yakshas. Similarly, we also are fighting, each and every one of us. Whether we are in male body or female body, young body, old body, rich body, poor body, educated body, uneducated body, white body, black body, brown body, whoever we may be. If we are on the path of Krishna consciousness, if we are trying to remember Krishna, trying to be Krishna conscious, each and every one of us is a spiritual warrior. And we are fighting with these anarthas. Lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, and false ego. So we are also warriors. So we have to understand this Kshatriya spirit. If the enemy is too powerful, we should not give up. We should not become bitter. We can think that, yes, the Yakshas have killed my brother Uttam. Yes, the Yakshas have won the battle against Uttam. But we will not lose the war. We will fight. We will fight bravely. We will fight with enthusiasm. Dhruv Maharaj is fighting with enthusiasm, with determination, with transcendental anger. Dhruv Maharaj is not doing Om Shanti on the battlefield. He is angry that his brother was killed. He is fighting. So similarly, we also have to fight with determination and enthusiasm. And if we face setback, we fall down from the principles. We fall down from the high standards. We should not become bitter. We should not become discouraged. Rather, we should become even more fired up. And all right, this time the anarthas won, my lust won over me. This time I fell prey to anger. This time I became a victim of envy. Okay. But I'm going to take more shelter of Krishna. I'm going to chant my rounds more sincerely, more with more attention. Just like Dhruv Maharaj was firing three arrows at a time. We also have to chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 3 times a day. यस्य प्रसादात् भगवत् प्रसादो यस्य प्रसादान् न गति कुटोऽपि ध्यायन्स्तुवंस्तस्य यशस्त्रिसन्ध्यां वन्दे गुरो श्रीचरणारविन्दं. त्रिसन्ध्या, वि विल् डू अवर् सन्ध्या वन्दन्, वि विल् रिमेम्बर् द स्पिरिचुवल् मास्टर्, वि विल् रिमेम्बर् कृष्ण at least 3 times a day. Yes, morning Brahma Murta Japa, at noon when we have prasad we pray to Krishna. Sharira Vidyajan, Krishna Bada Dayamaya, Jai Nimaya, Jai Nitaya, and we honor Krishna Prasad. And also in the evening we do Gaura Arati with the family members, we pray to Krishna, we sing some bhajans in the evening when the whole family is there. So 3 times a day we should take shelter of Krishna. We should chant our rounds very nicely. We are spiritual warriors. Spiritual warriors. So we learn this. And even if we fall down, even if we fail, we should never give up our enthusiasm. We should not become cowards and run away. Oh, this is too difficult, I cannot do it. Forget it, I'll just be a materialist. No. We have to be fired up. So this is what we can learn from these verses. Fighting spirit. Spiritual warriors we are. Fighting against the anarthas in our heart. Lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, false ego. And our weapons are what? Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We chant it privately. We chant it loudly, congregationally in Sankirtan. Japa, Sankirtan. Reading spiritual books like Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, associating with like-minded devotees. Soldiers of one army, they stick together. So we need Sadhu Sangha. So all these things we learn. This episode of Dhruva Maharaj fighting also reminds me of one incident from Mahabharata, which we will discuss for the next half an hour. And we will discuss this because this episode is full of glorification of Krishna's devotee. Krishna's devotee. And glorification of Krishna's devotee is very dear to Krishna, very pleasing to Krishna. So let us hear glorification of Krishna Bhaktas for the next 30 minutes. The same theme that we are reading in these verses in Srimad Bhagavatam. How Dhruva Maharaj was a great Kshatriya. Similarly in the Mahabharata, in Krishna Leela, we see that Krishna's friend Arjun and his four brothers, Yudhishthir Maharaj and Bhim, Nakul, Sahadev, they were all great Kshatriyas. So what happens is, we know the story how the Pandavas were tricked in the dice game. They were cheated and they were sent to forest for 12 years. And then one more year of Agyatvas, living incognito. So they completed the 12 years of exile into the forest. Draupadi, of course, followed her five husbands. And in the 13th year, they had to stay incognito. So they went to a kingdom called Matsya, Matsya Desh. And the king was Maharaj Virat. So the five Pandavas, they accepted five pseudonyms, fake names, and they, for example, Bhim was Vallabh, and Arjun was Brihanala. Arjun took the form of a eunuch. Yudhishthir Maharaj became a dice player, chess player, a court minister for the king, Maharaj Virat. Bhim became the cook. And Nakul and Sahadev, they decided to be caretakers of the horses and the cows of the kingdom. And Draupadi became a maid servant in the palace, serving the queen and the princess, Uttara. So in this way, for 1 year, they lived safely and happily in Matsya Desh. And their 13th year was almost over. And Duryodhan was growing impatient. His plan was that after 12 years of Vanvas, during the third year, somehow or the other, I will find the Pandavas. And the condition of the exile was that if they are discovered in that 13th year of living incognito, then they have to go back and repeat 12 years of Vanvas. So Duryodhan's plan was that every time, every year that they have to do incognito, I will detect them by sending my spies. I will find out where they are. And once they are identified, they are detected, then they have to again, they are back to square one. They have to again start the Vanvas. So he planned to keep them in exile permanently. 13th year, Duryodhan had sent his spies practically everywhere, every country in the world. But he could not find where the five brothers and their wife Draupadi were. He was growing very restless. Only few days were left before the 13th year ended. So he became very restless. And he called an emergency meeting. And he was discussing with everyone in the court, how can we detect the Pandavas? So Dronacharya and Bhishma Dev, they warned Duryodhan that why do you want to find them? They have already suffered for 13 years now almost. Let them come back and let us give them their kingdom. Because this kingdom originally belonged to their father, Maharaj Pandu. So let's give it to them back. Duryodhan laughed. He said, that's not an option. I will find them so I can send them back to exile. As they were discussing, Susharma, who was the brother of Duryodhan's wife, Bhanumati. Susharma, he ruled over a kingdom called Trigartha. So he said that Kichak has been killed. I just got the news that Kichak has been killed. Now Duryodhan, Karna, Shakuni, they were very well aware of Kichak. He was the commander of Maharaj Virat. And Kichak was one of the most powerful persons on earth at that time. There were only a handful of people who could kill him in a hand-to-hand combat. So when Duryodhan heard that Kichak died, he was intrigued. He became puzzled. So he asked Susharma, how did Kichak die? So he was told by the spies who came from Matsya kingdom and also by Susharma that Kichak was apparently killed in the middle of the night in a hand-to-hand combat, one-on-one, hand-to-hand combat. And that also, it was not an ordinary death because he was mangled into a pulp. He was beaten into a pulp. Sometimes, you know, we see these animals, they get crushed under the tires of the trucks on the highway. We see the dead carcass of an animal because it has been hit on the road by vehicles. And when many vehicles have gone over their body, how the dead body is reduced to just a pulp, just a mass of flesh. You cannot even identify whether it was a deer or a raccoon or coyote. What was it? Cannot your heart to even recognize. Similarly, whoever had killed Kichak had beaten him so badly that he was reduced to pulp. His body was completely mangled. When Duryodhan heard this, he told Shakuni and Karna that this is very intriguing. Who possibly could have killed the mighty Kichak in a hand-to-hand combat? Now you all know the story. Someday we can discuss it in detail. How Kichak had attacked Draupadi. He wanted to enjoy Draupadi. And to protect Draupadi, Bhim engaged with Kichak in a hand-to-hand combat. And he killed him in the dead of the night. So when Duryodhan heard that one person in a hand-to-hand combat killed Kichak, Duryodhan spoke loudly in the Kuru Sabha. He said, there are only a handful of people who could have killed Kichak. One is Krishna and Balram, but they are not, they never went to Matsyadesh. They are in Dwarka. So it cannot be Krishna Balram. He said, second is Karna. Karna could have killed him. Because Karna is here. I could have killed, but I am also here. Shalya could have killed, but Shalya did not go to Matsya kingdom. So who could have killed? There is nobody else who could have killed except Bhim. Bhim is the only other person who is strong enough to kill Kichak in a hand-to-hand combat without any weapons. Because Kichak was great with weapons, but Kichak's main forte was hand-to-hand combat. He was physically extraordinarily strong in a wrestling match, hand-to-hand combat. He was very strong. So he said, the people who could have killed, like Balram, Karna, we are all here. Balram is in Dwarka, Karna is here with me. The only other person who was strong enough to kill Kichak is Bhim. So is it possible that the Pandavas are hiding in the kingdom of Matsya, the kingdom of Virat? Is it possible? And Susharma said, yes, 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 I think it is what happened. So let's go. Let's go to the kingdom of Matsya and try to find the Pandavas. We still have a day or two left. So Duryodhana says, yes, let's do it. And Dronacharya and Bhishma Dev, they try to dissuade. They say, no, 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 we should not attack like that, a kingdom unnecessarily. And Susharma says that, no, 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 this Kichak was a pain in the neck. He would attack my kingdom of Trigartha and he would loot us at will. Duryodhan said, even our kingdom, even the Kuru kingdom, this Kichak used to attack. And he used to, the peripheral territories, he would attack and create a, you know, havoc. So now that he is dead, let us take revenge on the Virat Raja. Let's attack the King Virat. So two purposes will be served. First of all, when the Pandavas return from exile, they are going to attack us and there is going to be a war. For the war, we need soldiers, we need weapons, we need money, we need resources. So by attacking Virat kingdom, it has been weakened by the loss of their senapati, their commander, Kichak. So it will be an easy target, soft target. So let's capture this kingdom. We'll get soldiers, we'll get weapons, we'll get wealth, we'll get resources. So we will profit from this war. And secondly, if by chance we find the Pandavas there, then yay, we did it. They'll have to return back to the forest for 12 more years. So it's a win-win situation. We have nothing to lose. Let us attack. So Duryodhan said this and he said, nothing doing, we are attacking now. He made his determination. And Dhritarashtra Maharaj immediately gave his permission also. That yes, 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 let's go and attack this Maharaj Virat. So Duryodhan hatched a plan. He said that from one direction, Susharma and his army of Trigartha, they will attack and they will steal the cows. Because Virat Raja, he had many cows. He said, we'll steal the cows. Because having cows is a very valuable asset in times of war. And because the cows give milk, they give ghee. So many soldiers can be fed. Food can be cooked in that ghee for so many soldiers. So having cows will be very useful. So he tells Susharma, you go and you capture the cows. To save the cows, the whole army will come. Knowing that Susharma and his army has attacked the cows, Virat Maharaj, who now doesn't have his strongest commander, Kichak, he will attack with all his army. And the whole kingdom will be without any military force. At that time, when Kichak and his army is engaged with you, O Susharma, we, the Kurus, will attack from the other side and take them by surprise. And they will have practically no chance of survival. They will be completely routed in this battle. So this was the plan. So Susharma attacks from one side. He takes away all the cows who are grazing in the fields, and the cowherd men, they run to the palace and they start screaming that, "Please help, O Maharaj Virat, please help. All the cows have been stolen by Susharma and the Trigartas. Please help, please help." So the king immediately calls for his army. He says, "Let's go. You know, we are already weakened because we don't have Kichak anymore. If Kichak was there, nobody would have dared to attack us. But Kichak is dead now. So let us collect all the army we have, all the military we have, and let us go to rescue our cows." And he looks at Yudhishthir Maharaj. He says, "You also come." Then he looks at Vallab, the cook. He says, "You also come," who is Bhim. And then the caretakers of the cows and the horses, Nakul and Sahadev, he says, "You also come. You are all very strong-bodied. You come." And then as far as Brihanala, who was in the form of a eunuch, he said, "You know, you are no good. You stay back." And then taking the four Pandavas, Yudhishthir Maharaj, Bhim, Nakul and Sahadev, King Virat, he, along with his sons, his brother, his army, he goes and attacks Susharma. Now, we don't have time to discuss that battle. It is very fascinating, but we don't have time because we have to end the class exactly at 8:20 today. So we'll just discuss it in very brief. So when they go after Susharma, King Virat, he challenges Susharma. "Oh, Susharma, wait! Where are you going? Like a cowherd? Like a cowherd, you are stealing my cows and going? Wait and face me in battle." So Susharma starts laughing. He said, "Ah, Maharaj Virat, you have come. You have no strength because you don't have Kichak anymore. But come and fight with me." And then a fight ensues between Susharma and Maharaj Virat. And Susharma very easily defeats Maharaj Virat. And not only that, he captures him, ties him up, binds him and takes him as a prisoner and puts him on his chariot and starts taking him away. When Yudhishthir Maharaj sees this, he looks at Bhim, Nakul and Sahadev and says, "For 1 year we have lived peacefully in the kingdom of Maharaj Virat. He has given us a safe heaven when we were supposed to live incognito. He has fed us. We owe him a lot of gratitude. He has been defeated and taken as a prisoner. O Bhim, Nakul and Sahadev, I command you, go and bring back King Virat and defeat Susharma." And Bhim was just waiting for this opportunity, because for 13 years he had been waiting to battle as a Kshatriya, but he got no opportunity. And now the opportunity had come. He started charging towards Susharma. And Nakul and Sahadev were at his side to fight the other soldiers who would attack Bhim. So Bhim called out to Susharma, "Oh, King Susharma, wait. First fight me. Then you can take King Virat as your prisoner. First you have to defeat me." And all the army, they attacked Bhim. And Bhim was crushing them like a bulldozer would crush through a field of corn. He was just crushing them. And on both sides, Nakul and Sahadev, with their swords, they were also fighting. And Bhim picks up his famous gada to kill Susharma. And Yudhishthir Maharaj immediately approaches him and whispers to him that, "Don't take your gada. Just seeing how expert you are at gada, everyone will understand that you are none other than Bhim and we will be recognized. So fight with bow and arrow." Yudhishthir Maharaj tells Bhim, "Don't take your gada, you will be recognized. Because no one can fight with a gada like you. So fight with bow and arrow." So Bhim, although his forte was gada, he takes up his bow and arrow and he challenges Susharma, "Come, fight with me." And then a fight ensues between Bhim and Susharma. And Bhim very easily defeats in bow and arrow Susharma. And he releases Maharaj Virat and he captures Susharma. Ties his hands behind him. Grabs him by the hair and brings him in front of Yudhishthir Maharaj. And says, "What should I do with him?" Yudhishthir Maharaj says, "He is the property of our king, Maharaj Virat. Go and take him to Virat." So Bhim drags Susharma, who was the brother-in-law of Duryodhan. So Bhim had every reason to be angry with Susharma. So he drags Susharma to Maharaj Virat and throws him at the feet of Maharaj Virat and says, Maharaj Virat, this Susharma is your property from today. And he tells Susharma, Susharma, you have been defeated, your army has been destroyed, and I was ready to kill you, but I did not kill you because you are not my property, you are the property of Maharaj Virat, you are his slave. I will let you go with your life only if Maharaj Virat says so. Otherwise, I am ready to kill you right now. And Maharaj Virat says, no, we don't want to kill him. Let him go. We got our cows back. He has learnt a lesson. Let him go. So Bhim tells Susharma, now go back to your kingdom of Trigartha and announce wherever you go, you announce that you are a slave of Virat Maharaj. You are his slave. Go and announce. And he just pushes him away. Get lost. And Susharma, he offers his obeisances to King Virat and then goes, climbs on his chariot and goes away humiliated. Then Maharaj Virat is so pleased with Yudhishthir and Bhim that he goes to Yudhishthir and tells him that you have saved my life, you have saved my honor, you have saved my kingdom, you have saved my cows. I don't deserve to be the king. You deserve to be the king. You should become the king and Vallabh means Bhim should become the commander. So I hand over the kingdom to you, he tells Yudhishthir Maharaj. And Yudhishthir Maharaj, you know, he shakes his head. He said, no, we cannot accept your kingdom. You rule. You are the rightful king. You are a very nice king. And we are just your servants. Please don't do this. And then he tells, so then Maharaj Virat asks, now what is my duty as a king? So Yudhishthir Maharaj says, just look around. There are thousands of dead soldiers. You have just won battle. So you must send some messengers to your kingdom declaring your victory. And following the Kshatriya codes, we must spend the night here on the battlefield. And that was a Kshatriya rule, that after you win a battle, you must spend the night on the battlefield. And then next morning you can go to your kingdom as the victorious party. So it's not like, you know, how nowadays there is a cricket match or something, and when they win, they are punching the air and they are jumping and celebrating. It was not like that. The Kshatriya code is, if you have won, you don't celebrate. You spend the night on the battlefield with the dead soldiers as a mark of respect for your own dead soldiers as well as the dead soldiers of the enemy. It's a very sobering experience. You see the reality, the naked reality of this material world, and you understand what sacrifices have gone through, how many lives have been laid so that you can sit on the throne and rule. It gives a sense of responsibility, how responsibly I have to rule. And then next day morning, you go to the kingdom. So then they just send, the king just sends his son, youngest son, okay, you go as a messenger and let everybody know that we have been victorious, and then tomorrow we will come back. Tonight we will spend on the battlefield. So now when the son comes back, the son of King Virat, he comes back. He gives the good news that my father has been victorious against Susharma and he has defeated the Trigarthas. They have gone, the cows have been rescued. So there is a sense of joy in the kingdom. And as he is giving the news, immediately messengers come and they say that, oh prince, our kingdom has been attacked from the other side by the powerful Kurus. Please do something. Please save us. And again the Kurus come and they take away the cows of the Virat kingdom. So the cowherds, people, they come and they start crying. Again our cows have been taken away by the Kurus this time. They are much more powerful. Please do something, oh prince. So the prince says, I am very powerful. I can single-handedly defeat the Kurus. Oh prince, you may not know, but this is not an ordinary army. in this army, there is Duryodhan, there is Karna, there are so many powerful Maharathis like Bhishma Dev, Dronacharya, Kripacharya. You know, this army is very great. So Rajkumar Bhuminjay, it may be not as easy as you think. So his name was Bhuminjay. This prince of Bhuminjay says, ha ha ha, you don't know my power. I am very powerful. I am a Maharathi. I can single-handedly defeat all the Kuru chiefs, all the Kuru warriors. Now Bhuminjay was a young prince. And just like, you know, small gully cricket players, they grow up talking about the big cricket stars. I don't even, you know, now I have not followed cricket in few decades now, so I don't know the name. But when I used to watch, it was probably those people who are already retired now. So I will not take names. But you know, all the international cricket players who play, the big people. So the small children, when they grow up, they idolize the big cricket players. That, this cricket player is, you know, the best batsman, best bowler, best fielder, like that, you know. So similarly, this Bhuminjay was an ardent, sold-out fan of Dhananjay. Bhuminjay was a fan of Dhananjay. Arjun. He grew up idolizing Arjun. That, there is this great Kshatriya Arjun from the Kuru dynasty. He lives in Hastinapur, then Indraprastha. He's so brave, he's so valorous. You know, he can fight with the even celestials, the demigods, and defeat them. He had heard all the stories about Arjun. He was like a total fan, pakka fan of Arjun. So he started boasting. He said, I am like Arjun. I can defeat Karna. I can defeat Dronacharya. I can defeat Bhishma Dev. I can defeat Duryodhan. I can defeat Dushasan. I can defeat Kripacharya. I am not afraid of them. But the problem is, yesterday in the battle with the Trigartas, with Susharma, my charioteer was killed. So the problem is, I don't have a charioteer. That's why, you know, I cannot fight the Kurus today. Otherwise, I would have gone and defeated them. No problem. But I don't have a charioteer. So then the ministers say, oh, no problem. We will find your charioteer. Acha, you'll find my charioteer. Who? So there is no charioteer. So everybody is on the battlefield. You know, there is no skilled charioteer. So, and constantly, you know, he's talking about how he's like Arjun, how he's equal to Arjun. And Draupadi is in that, Sai Rindhi is her name. She's also in that court. So she's hearing, and she doesn't like it, that this Bhuminjay is talking about my Arjun so casually. So she tells that, great prince Bhuminjay, don't you know that Brihanala, the dance and music teacher, he's actually a very skilled charioteer. And, you know, he can be your chariot driver today. So take him to fight the Kurus, Draupadi says. So Bhuminjay says, what? Take that eunuch as my charioteer? That's below my dignity. Draupadi gets so angry, but she controls herself. How dare he talk like this about my Arjun? He says, oh, great prince Bhuminjay, don't you know it was Brihanala who has been personally trained by the great Kshatriya warrior Arjun. Brihanala was personally trained by Arjun at one point. And in fact, during many wars, Brihanala has actually been the chariot driver for Arjun. What? Brihanala has met Arjun? Bhuminjay gets excited. Oh yes, then certainly I will accept him as my chariot driver today. But will he accept the proposal? So Draupadi tells Bhuminjay that tell your sister Uttara to go and ask Arjun. Then he go and ask Brihanala. Then Brihanala will agree. So this is really funny. Huh? So then this Bhuminjay prince, he tells his sister Uttara that go and get that eunuch. Brihanala, tell him that I want him to ride my chariot today. So Uttara goes running to where Brihanala is and tells Brihanala that my brave brother, Prince Bhuminjay, he is about to go single-handedly in battle against the Kuru army, which is like a huge ocean. All he needs is a skilled charioteer. And we have heard that you can ride a chariot. So my brother is calling you into the court. Please come immediately. So Arjun immediately goes and he stands in front of Bhuminjay. And Bhuminjay looks at this Brihanala, who is a dance and music teacher. So he tells, "Oh Brihanala, become my chariot driver today. Come on. We are going to fight the Kurus." So Brihanala makes a very shy gesture, starts shaking the shoulders, moving here and there, starts playing with his long hair, long braids of hair, and starts looking at the ground shyly. And while playing with his hair, Brihanala says, "Oh Prince Bhuminjay, if you need music or dance, I can give it. But what is this? You are asking me to go in war like a Kshatriya. I don't know. I feel very uncomfortable doing that. I don't think I can do it." So then Bhuminjay says, "I don't care. I have heard that you have ridden the chariot of Arjun. So whatever you are, you become my chariot driver." So Bhuminjay says, so Brihanala says, "Okay, I will do it." So then Bhuminjay says, "Come on, get an armor for Brihanala and make Brihanala wear the armor, because he cannot go in the battle as my charioteer without armor to protect him." So the soldiers, they bring an armor, and then they try to make Brihanala wear it. And Arjun, who is Brihanala, he tries to make a show that he is not even able to wear the armor. So he wears the armor, front side back. Then he wears it inside out. He makes all sorts of mistakes wearing the armor, as if he doesn't know how to wear armor. And then as he's struggling with the armor, he just drops it and the armor goes crashing on the ground in the palace. It falls down. And all the ladies, all the soldiers, they start laughing. "Look at this Brihanala. He doesn't even know how to wear armor and he is going to go into the battlefield with Prince Bhuminjay against the Kurus of all the people." Everybody is laughing. And Brihanala also starts, shyly looking at the ground and laughing. Draupadi, Sai Rindi, she immediately steps forward. She cannot see that people are laughing at Arjun. She gets very angry. So she quickly picks up that armor and she makes Arjun wear it nicely. And when Brihanala has worn the armor, then Bhuminjay says, "Come on, let's go to the battlefield." So then Brihanala gets on the chariot and starts riding the chariot for this Bhuminjay prince. And they start approaching the place where the Kurus are standing. And all the while, this prince, he is bragging about his prowess to Brihanala. But when they go around half a mile from the Kuru army, this Bhuminjay, he tells Brihanala to stop the chariot. And he just looks at the huge army. He sees Bhishma Dev standing. He sees Dronacharya standing. He sees Duryodhan. He sees Dushasan. He sees Ashwatthama. He sees Karna. He sees Kripacharya. And Bhuminjay, his jaw drops. And he says, "What? My ministers want me to fight this army? I say that even the demigods cannot face this army. This army is undefeatable. Who can defeat Bhishma Dev? Even Parashuram could not defeat him. Who can defeat Dronacharya? Who can defeat Ashwatthama? Who can defeat Duryodhan? This army is undefeatable. And my ministers want me to fight. I am just a small boy. I am not even adult yet. I am still a teenager. I am still learning how to fight." And he starts sweating. He breaks into a sweat. He starts trembling. And he tells Brihanala, "Oh Brihanala, turn around the chariot. Let's go back to the kingdom and let us wait for my father to come back. And then tomorrow we will battle with the Kurus." So he says, "Come on, let's go back. Hurry, hurry, before the Kurus capture us. Let's go back. I'm scared." So Brihanala turns back at Bhuminjan and says, "Oh prince, you are born in the Virat race, in the Matsya dynasty. It's a great dynasty of powerful Kshatriyas. This doesn't befit you. Where have these impurities come upon you?" "Where have these impurities come upon you?" Arjun tells Bhuminjaya. See, the roles will be reversed in the Kurukshetra war. The roles will be reversed in the Kurukshetra war. But here Arjun is telling Bhuminjaya that where have these impurities come upon you? It is unbecoming of you. This is not the duty of a Kshatriya. You must fight. Then the prince tells Brihanala, "I am commanding you. I am your prince. In the absence of the king, I am the king. As a king, I am ordering you, quickly turn around the chariot. Let's run. Let's go back." And Brihanala says, "No, I will not turn the chariot around. That's against the Kshatriya codes. We have to fight. We have come here to fight. You know, we are going to fight. I'm not going to turn the chariot around." So then Bhuminjaya says, "Okay, if you are not going to turn the chariot around, I'm going to run with my feet." And he jumps off the chariot and starts running back towards the palace. Now imagine, Bhishma Dev is watching, Dronacharya is watching, Duryodhan is watching, Dushasan is watching, Ashwatthama is watching, Kripacharya, Karna, all of them are watching, and they see that there is a chariot coming. The chariot driver is very, very powerful. He is appearing like a eunuch, but he appears like a great fire that cannot be seen because of smoke and ashes. It's a fire hidden under ashes and smoke, but underneath is a powerful fire. That's how Brihanala appeared to all of them. Look at his mighty arms. They appear like the trunks of elephants. Look at his broad shoulder. He is so powerful. He looks like the son of Pandu. But he is dressed as a eunuch. And look at that prince who was riding on the chariot. Just before the battle was to begin, he has jumped down from the chariot, turned around and started running. And all the Kauravas start laughing. What kind of Kshatriya is this? He's running away. And Brihanala is calling out from the chariot, "Stop, stop, don't run away. This is unbecoming of you." And Bhuminjaya replies, "I don't care. I have to save my life." If he becomes philosophical, he says, "It is the duty of every human being to protect one's life, to save one's life first. If the life is there, then we can enjoy tomorrow. But what is the use? If we lose the life, we cannot enjoy anything. No dharma, artha, kama, moksha. First we have to save ourselves. Baba, I am going to save myself. I am running." And he starts running even faster. And then Brihanala jumps down from the chariot and starts running after the prince with greater speed. And runs with greater speed from behind and finally catches Bhuminjaya. And Bhuminjaya falls on the ground, starts begging Brihanala, let me go, leave me, leave me." But Brihanala, with his powerful arms, catches hold of one of the arms of this prince, Bhuminjaya, and says, "Nothing doing, come on, come back to the chariot." "No, no," he starts crying. "No, let me go, I'm just a small boy, I cannot fight, this is not fair." So then Brihanala tells, "So Bhuminjaya, why were you bragging so much?" He said, "Oh, I'm just a child, children sometimes brag, it is not to be taken seriously. Now let me go, I'm serious, I want to go home, I'm missing my father." Starts crying. And then Brihanala says, "Okay, wait a second, stop crying. If you cannot fight the Kurus, then let me fight. But I have given my word to the ladies in the palace that I am going to war. So it is below my dignity to turn around and return to the palace without fighting. So let's do this. Let us swap our positions. I will fight and you be my chariot driver. Is that okay?" So Bhuminjaya says, okay, as long as I don't have to fight, it's okay with me. I will drive a chariot." So then he puts him on the chariot. Brihanala literally puts him on the chariot and then climbs on the chariot and says, "Okay, now turn the chariot and go towards that Sami tree." And then Bhuminjaya starts riding the chariot towards a tree on one side of the battlefield. And the Kauravas are looking all at all this and they are wondering what is going on. First the Kshatriya warrior jumps off the chariot, starts running. Then the chariot driver jumps off the chariot, starts chasing the Kshatriya prince, captures him, brings him back, and then they swap their positions. The chariot driver becomes the fighter and the prince becomes the chariot driver. What is going on? And now they are going towards a tree instead of fighting. So they are all looking very intently. What is going on? And just the way Brihanala was standing on the chariot, Bhishma Dev understands that this is my Arjun. This cannot be anybody other than Arjun. And then they go to the tree, but the tree is beyond the eyesight of the Kurus. The Kurus cannot see the tree clearly from where they are standing. They go to the tree, and then Brihanala orders the chariot driver, Prince Bhuminjay, climb on that tree. So then Bhuminjay obediently climbs on that tree. He says, look over there. Do you see that bag? So Bhuminjay says, yes, it looks like a corpse that has been tied to the tree. So Brihanala laughs. He says, no, that's not a corpse. Those are my weapons. Go and retrieve them for me. So this Bhuminjay goes, he unties that bag. It is tied with ropes to the branches of the tree. He unties and brings down the bag. It is a bag made of deer skin. And then Arjun tells him, now open this bag. So Bhuminjay obediently opens. And inside is an effulgent bow made of pure gold, bedecked with jewels, very, very powerful. And this Bhuminjay is not even able to look at the effulgence of that bow. He says, what is this? What kind of bow is this? Then Brihanala says, this is the Gandiv bow. What? Gandiv, the famous bow of the mighty Arjun? Brihanala says, yes, and I am that Arjun. What? You are Arjun? He says, yes, I am Arjun, and this is my bow. You just ride my chariot, and I will fight the Kurus, but we will not run away. I will fight them. And then he takes the Gandiv, he takes two quivers, which become inexhaustible. The arrows never finish. Inexhaustible when the fight is going on. And he takes those quivers, he takes his Gandiv bow and climbs onto the chariot. And then he looks at the top of the chariot where the flag is. And he folds his hands and prays to Hanumanji. And immediately the old flag on the chariot disappears. And a new flag comes. And Hanumanji enters that flag. And suddenly that flag has the emblem. It becomes Kapidhwaja. It has the emblem of Hanumanji. And this Bhuminjay is watching with awe how Hanumanji comes, enters the flag, how Dhananjay is praying. And then Arjun, after Hanumanji comes, he offers obeisances to Hanumanji and then starts praying to his celestial weapons. And all the celestial weapons, the Divyastras, they enter the mind of Arjun. And Arjun tells them, please remain in my mind. And when I invoke you, please come. And those all the celestial weapons says, yes, we are at your disposal. Just think of us and we will be there at your command. And then Arjun takes his Gandiv and he pulls the string and lets go, creating a twang of his Gandiv bow. As soon as the twang is heard by Bhuminjay, Bhuminjay just falls on the bhumi, falls on the ground, on his knees. The sound is so tumultuous. He closes his ears and he tells Arjun, oh Arjun, I cannot bear the twang of your Gandiv. How will I ride your chariot? It is impossible. It is so loud. And when on the other side of the field, when Bhishma Dev, Duryodhan, Dushasan, Dronacharya, they hear that twang, they all look at each other. And ultimately they all look at Bhishma Dev. And Bhishma Dev with a smile on his face says, yes, you have guessed right. This can be none other than Bibhutsu. Bibhutsu was one of the names of Arjun. One who invokes bhaye, fear, in the hearts of his enemies. He says, yes, this is my Vijay. Another name of Arjun was Vijay, one who is always victorious in battle. So Duronacharya, he tells everyone that everyone, please prepare properly. Call your celestial weapons, meditate on your celestial weapons, get your best weapons, all the soldiers' attention. You are going to fight with none other than Arjun, who has been waiting for this moment for the last 13 years. He is going to fight with a rage, and we are going to be no match for him today. And then Dhananjay tells, Brihanala tells, now let's call him Arjun now because he has revealed his identity. He tells Bhuminjay, come on, turn the chariot around and let's face the Kurus. And when they go in front of the Kurus, they are just a short distance away from them. Arjun takes his conch shell out and he blows the conch shell. When Arjun blows his conch shell, today we heard about how Dhruv Maharaj blew his conch shell. When Arjun blew his conch shell, all the horses fell on the ground on their knees. All the horses of the Kuru army were weeping. Many soldiers fell down unconscious just by hearing the blast of Arjun's conch shell. And for a second time, Bhuminjay fell off the chariot on the ground just by hearing Arjun's conch shell. And then Arjun gives him a hand and pulls him back on the chariot and tells him, encourages him, Oh, Bhuminjay Prince, please don't forget your dynasty. You are a Kshatriya. Hold the reins tightly, sit tight, and don't fall down again. I'm depending on you to ride my chariot. And then Arjun takes his Gandiv, and just like Dhruv Maharaj was shooting three arrows at a time, Arjun points three arrows at the Kuru army and fires his first three arrows. The first arrow lands at the lotus feet of Bhishma Dev. The second arrow lands at the feet of Dronacharya. And the third arrow lands at the feet of Kripacharya. And Bhishma Dev smiles and he explains to the Kuru army, with these three arrows, my dear Dhananjay is offering his obeisances to his grandfather, to his guru, and to Kripacharya out of respect because he is meeting us for the first time after a gap of 13 years. Based on my astrological calculation, this morning, 13 years have elapsed. The Vanvas and the Agyatvas is officially over. That is why Arjun has revealed his identity and he has come to battle us. Please prepare yourself. These three arrows were his dandavat pranams to us. But his next arrows will not be dandavat pranam. They will give us danda. They will give us punishment for the atrocities that we have inflicted upon Draupadi. And then the war at Virat begins, which we don't have time. It's a fascinating war. How Arjun single-handedly first defeats Duryodhan, then single-handedly in one-on-one combat defeats Karna and his brother together. He kills Karna's brother and defeats Karna. Then he defeats Dronacharya. Then he defeats Kripacharya. Then he defeats Bhishma Dev single-handedly. People ask me sometimes, Prabhuji, was Arjun more powerful or Karna was more powerful? So my answer is very simple. Answer is very simple. Anybody is only as powerful as Krishna empowers them to be. Balam balavatam chaham kamaraga vivarjitam dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshabha. He tells Bharat, Krishna tells Bharatarshabha, the best among the descendants of Bharat, Arjun. Krishna tells Arjun that in Bhagavad Gita, Balam Balavatam Chaham, I am the strength of the strong. So anybody is as strong as Krishna empowers them to be. Arjun being a Priya Sakha of Krishna, he can be as powerful as Krishna empowers him to be. Bhishma Dev can be as powerful as Krishna empowers. It was Krishna who was giving the strength to Arjun. If Krishna empowers, then Arjun can single-handedly defeat the whole Kaurava army. If Krishna doesn't give empowerment, Arjun cannot even defeat some tribal men, dacoits, who are not even trained kshatriyas. It depends on Krishna. Balam balavatam chaham. It was Krishna who was giving the strength to Jatayu to fight Ravan. If he wanted, he could have given enough strength to Jatayu to kill Ravan also. But that would not have been perfection of Jatayu. Jatayu's perfection was to lay down his life for Krishna. Because Ravan had attacked Ram's wife, Srimati Sita Devi. So it was Lord Ram's dharma as Maryada Purushottam to kill Ravan, not anybody else. So the perfection of Jatayu was to give up his life. That way he could have gone to Vaikuntha even faster. Faster, shortcut. Immediately, back home, back to Godhead. So these are some of the thoughts, you know, I wanted to share. Very fascinating scriptures. We should study them carefully and feel inspired. This is our heritage. This is our parampara. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjun. We are reading Bhagavad Gita means we are followers of Arjun. So we try to glorify Arjun, his character, his bravery, his strength, so that Krishna will be happy with us. So we have a DT installation today. So I have to go immediately. At 9 o'clock is the DT installation. So I beg for your blessings and your permission to end the class. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Mitrai Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari Bol. Thank you all very much for your kind attention. Please forgive any mistakes in the narration. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Very
thank
nice.
Thank you. Very nice class. Mr. Obisi, to all the devotees, Vansha Kalpataru Peshya, Kupakru Pasmi, Kapi Kamam, Kavanam, Kupakru Pasmi, Kupakru Pasmi, Kupakru Pasmi, Kupakru Pasmi, Kupakru Pasmi, Kupakru Pasmi,